Let me call the meeting to order. The first item that we have is to accept, I think it's the agenda, right?
Mr. Chair, we have one member by phone, so you need to do a roll call and a vote.
So I'll entertain a motion to accept the agenda.
I'll move to approve the agenda.
I'll second.
Okay, will clerk call a roll?
Mayor Stinson?
Yes.
Oyl?
Yes.
Burleson?
Yes.
Donahue?
Here.
Fox?
Here.
Hannon?
Yes.
Joy?
Yes.
McElroy? Benson? Benson?
Yes.
Myrick?
Yes.
Olson?
Yes.
Hugh?
Yes.
Wistall? Vandenberg?
Yeah.
Wilmes?
Here.
Witty?
Here.
The second item on the agenda is to accept the minutes of the previous meeting.
So moved.
Second.
Second.
Clerk call.
Mayor Stinson?
Aye.
Oyl?
Is this the minutes?
Yeah.
Yes.
Burleson?
Yes.
Donahue?
Yes.
Fox?
Yes.
Hannon?
Yes.
Joy?
Yes.
McElroy? Benson?
Yes.
Myrick?
Yes.
Olson?
Yes.
Hugh?
Yes.
Wistall? Vandenberg?
Yes.
Wilmes?
Here.
Witty?
Yes.
Okay, that brings us to the main topic that we have here, which is to set a salary level for legislators for the, 2018-19 period. I thought maybe that we might go through the same exercise that we did during the last meeting and have everybody give their estimate as to what the salary should be, the same way we did before up there. If we do that, there's no requirement that you not have changed your mind or anything like that. Everybody's had a week to think things over, but you can go ahead and do that, post that up on the wall as well, and then try to go from there. So we've got some pieces of paper.
Tom, do you want to do that out loud, or do you want to do that
on paper? Let's just do it on paper. Do we have to sign these?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Okay, so you have to sign it, but we won't put your name up next to the
When we're done, Greg, do we just like the pole we burn at the spot? I mean, we're done.
Why would we have to put our names on if we burned it?
I was going to say, I don't think the open meeting law applies to people conferences.
And somehow I don't think I'd be part of this if we were electing a poll.
Sorry.
You got it. I'm not sure everybody got it.
I got it.
I got it.
Pope does not need it.
Oh, yeah. I could go through that on a whole lot.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah, I was just doing more.
You want to write a number? That's a write my number.
No, we just want a number of them. They didn't want the rest.
Good enough. You're gonna get those.
It looks like it's Williamstown, but it's
oh, yeah, Will Mass. You know, I don't.
I'm not saying. I lived in Fallsburg.
In where?
Fallsburg.
It's such a
kind of south.
Oh.
We lived in
This gentleman here?
Not Jim. He doesn't look like a
business. Oh. Mary LaHammer.
Marcia texted in her boat.
Yeah, I know the other one.
Sally, can you read those off?
Sure. Number one is 45,000. That's two 45,000, 47,000, 43,500, 40,000, 42,000, 42,000, 45,000, 41,000, 47,000, 47,000, 45,000, 40,000, 45,000.
We need Excel to do some sorts here.
Can you read them one more time so that I can check and make sure that I got them all?
2 is 45,000, 3 is 47,000, 4 is 43,500, 5 is 40,000, 6 is 42,000, 7 is 42,000, 8 is 45,000, 9 is 41,000, 10 is 47,000, 11 is 47,000, 12 is 45,000, 13 is 45,000.
Do we have the response from the person on the phone?
Yes.
Have you got it figured out?
What's the average? No, not yet. I'm working on it, though.
Gloria, what's the average?
43,892.86.
That's
different from the last.
43,892?
Yes. Well, round up to 83.
How come
that's
only 14?
Two absent.
Two not here?
Yes.
Okay.
Is that what you got?
Yep.
Oh, sorry. She has an
advantage being close to me.
Well, and she's also got a key on both sides.
Okay, so we're at 43,900 or $44,000 as the average of the Now, there's no reason why we should take the average or anything like that. The group can make a decision other than the average, obviously. Does anybody want to talk a little bit about where they think the number should be?
My view is we ought to actually pick a number rather than just average. And I'm a 45er there, and I'm a 45er because I believe that the salaries of legislators should have at least kept up with inflation. And I think that it's really important for us to do that catch up because they have failed as a legislature to actually increase their salaries every biennium or the like, and they should have done that. But the fact is that there's a huge catch-up thing that needs to happen here, and I think catching them up to inflation is really important. And as I understand it, the inflation would put it at 44,862, and I would round that up to 45. I think that's a good way to do it. I also think that keeps us in line with other states. And I also think that going forward, we need to look at, of course, all of the factors, but we need to look at it in smaller increments going forward. But I think we actually need to do a catch-up thing here because of the failure to act during the 17-year period.
Can I ask you a question? Where did you get the 44,862?
I got that from Greg.
The cover letter.
Yes.
Okay.
That's what I understand. If we just caught up for inflation, that's what it would be. I'd be interested in, as I said, I think before, I would also be interested in knowing what would their salary be if they got the same increases that state employees got. And I get it that that's really a hard thing to calculate to figure out. But,
Tom, let me just build on that. I think our responsibility, because we're the first one, is lay the platform for the next council so they don't have to do catch-up, too. I would like to have, in 2 years, the council sit down and say that, I hate to use the word, we're in a spot now, we're not playing catch-up, but in fact, now we're just going to look at the numbers in front of us, and now we're going to look forward versus backwards. So I think that's one of our key responsibilities this time, is to get it right this time so the next council has an easier task than we've had.
I will just point out that 8 of the 14 votes have it at 45 or 47,000. So the general consensus seems to be that we raise it to a level that is kind of in line with some of these numbers that we looked at last time, the consumer price index and all the other things we did, which seemed to be in the 44 to 47,000 range. So just a point of information.
Tom, you asked a question about where Bill got that number from.
Yes.
And I see that your number in the materials you gave us last week was for the CPI was 46,570. I just want to make sure we're all talking about the same numbers, because I started from the same premise that Bill did, to raise it for inflation. I also felt compelled by, you know, all of the numbers that we got last week on the comparables averaged out to about 43. And that's right in the same range. And so if you could talk about that number that Bill threw out and what number we should be using.
Well, we're trying to come up with where the number that was in the council transmittal letter came from. But one of the things that happened between the first meeting, or maybe it was the second meeting, whenever I put material together for showing kind of what had happened and so on like that, is that we got another month of data from the BLS, which gave us another year of inflation. And so I think that the correct number for inflation now, if you adjust for per diem, growth in per diem as well, the correct number for inflation is 46,570. which would be 47,000 or 46,000.
Say again, Tom, 46?
46,570.
That's 50?
750.
That's what you said.
507?
No.
Oh. 750. If you look on page 5 of our materials from last week, the number is for the CPI.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Yeah, I took the number, where I took the number from was the draft letter. So the real number is 46.5, essentially?
My understanding is that was one of two inflationary calculations.
Yes.
That you're using this, right?
Yes.
And then if you average those two, we're at 45.
What was the other one? What was the other
there's,
one?
There are two measures of inflation that economists look at. Actually, there are more than two. The most popularly known is the CPI, the Consumer Price Index. There are several variants of the Consumer Price Index. There's also something called the Personal Consumption Expenditure Index. One of them is prepared by the Department of Labor, one of them is prepared by the U.S. Department of Commerce, and they're slightly different. And the CPI is more widely known, but the PCE has certain advantages as well. And so I think that Gloria's point is that there isn't any one right answer.
What does the state use?
The state use?
Yeah, when they set.
It's a negotiated. It's a negotiated. It's negotiated. And so they have that information.
But I wouldn't find anywhere in state statute that normally they use CPI versus PCE.
There are certain programs, primarily I think in the healthcare area, that have inflation built into them. Most programs in the state don't have automatic inflation built into them.
Typically, the state employees, when they get an increase, we'll call it, is it on a, are they on a, do they get cost of living plus like a step program, or are they just usually there? They get both, don't they? Because typical city employees, you get a, your, most cities are on a step program, like in Paul here, employees are on a step program, like step 7, 3, and that'll be their increase for their wage, and then they also get a cost of living, which is sometimes anywhere from 1.5% to 2%. And that's kind of how I've been looking at this. Is
the COLA?
Yeah. Yep. So I look at kind of this that way as the cost of living. If they would have been getting their cost of living every year for the last 19 years, where would it have put them in the wage spectrum? And I know that's where using state employees, it's a little different. I think the cost of living is one thing, but then also they're on a step program. That's correct right there. So, you know, it's, I guess I would look at the cost of living part of the state employees. And yeah, I was trying to figure out what that was, what they've been getting or what it's, where it's been. But
you know, senior citizens who've been getting cost of living would tell you that it's not enough. I mean, think about it, all the people on social
Mr. Security. Boyle.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I don't disagree with the analysis of everyone so far. I picked a number of 47,000, and I just like to just explain how I came to that. I did have the fact that, though I found all those sheets helpful, and hopefully I'm interpreting them correctly. And one of them was that the Consumer Price Index had the number of 46,570. I looked at an analysis of the median household income adjusted from 1999, and that would have had a rationale for a salary of $47,344. I also looked at analysis of the five Twin City Metro County Commissioners and on average, and that would be at $55,095. And I personally believe I'd rather have a legislator representing my district with the proper talents versus a county commissioner. I'd like to be able to advocate an excellent county commissioner to be a state representative or state senator. And so I believe he should be higher than him. Further analysis of 70% of the average state policy managers, which we had in those statistics, is 73,669, and that's a lot more, $26,000 more than what I'm proposing. So it's not even close to the talents of the average state policy manager, $26,000 less. And then just because we had that information, the legislative salary for the state of Washington is $46,839. So anyway, that's where I came at 47,000. I think it is important that we explain our rationale, because the rationale for the next time won't be as pertinent, because we're taking the big fight now, because it hasn't been dealt with in 19 years. So I'd like to have those type of things identified, because they won't be as necessary next time around. So we'll see. Anyway, that's my analysis. I would hope that we would have a figure of 47. To be honest with you, you know, like, I don't like to average things. I like to try, I like to prescribe a salary and give a good rationale. Averaging, to me, just isn't the right way to go. I mean, we voted last time, so if I really believed in that, I could have popped my number up to justify 47. You know, I admit I'm a lawyer, and some lawyers do that. There's a seminar on that, but I don't believe in it. I believe that you just try and do the right number and give the right rationale, and that's it.
Yes.
Can we get the COLA number? I mean, last time when I asked for state employees, you guys told me that's just too hard to calculate, I think. Is there a COLA? Is there a published COLA number for the last 17 years? Well, is it 99 to 17? That's 18. Maybe there's not, if there isn't.
The problem is we have multiple bargaining units.
Yeah.
And there's other things that are bargained at the same time. And so it's not really an available number, given several months, we could probably get it, but not. This isn't something that you can look up on the internet.
There's probably variables in there, because we even have variable on the city level, because we have union and non-union, and the cost of living for union would be different. Then it's a negotiated fact, comes to the negotiation. So I suppose that's what you see on the state level too. That is why, and you'd have to come to an average, unfortunately, but. That's where you'd be at.
I always thought the point of union negotiation was to get a number above the COLA.
It usually is, but they call it cost of living. And I just,
you know, so they propose 4%, that they compromise to 3%, yep. And the COLA is 2.5.
Right.
So
right.
The union could declare victory, because it got a half a percent more than the COLA. But I always thought COLA was a published number, but I guess it's not.
No.
In levels, it is. I mean, isn't it?
No, I don't think it's a published number.
I don't like the idea of using the inflationary rate based on the 31,140 they were getting, because we're assuming that number was correct for that time, which we don't really know if it was or not, number one. Number two, they had the authority to give themselves a raise anytime they wanted, and they refused to do it. So I think we're being very generous with keeping it at the lower end of the 40,000. And I'm kind of basing that on the medium household income of $69,000 times 70%, because we pretty much all agreed that's a 70% job for most of them. And that comes out to $48,300. And if you take the average per diem of 9,000 and subtract that off, that leaves a salary of 39,300. And if we just round it up to 40,000, it's a nice round number. Plus they get the retirement and the health care and their travel expenses. I'm opting for a lower number. Like I say, they could have given themselves a raise anytime they wanted to. And they refused to do it, so obviously it wasn't that important to them, through multiple legislatures. And this is, I went through and I got a picture of every one of them and what they put down for an occupation. They all have other incomes for the most part, you know, including some of them who have large retirement accounts, some of them two or three retirement accounts from previous jobs. I think we'd be giving them too much if we gave them $47,000. And a lot of them are attorneys, a lot of them are business owners. That was probably the two biggest occupation here was small business owner and attorney. So I guess I'm opting for a lower number.
I would have to say I'm in agreement with Ken. I have that same line of thinking. I think it should be lower also in the 40-41 range in light of the per diem that is also on salary in the whole compensation package. I would be in agreement with Ken. That same line of thinking there.
Oh, sure.
I'd like to just say that I think that we need to be careful about basing it on who's in the legislature now, that we should be thinking that we're setting salaries for what we're hoping is going to be new talent and representative members of our society who want to serve their state but need to be compensated in a manner that allows them to be whole. And so I think that that's important. And, you know, we talked a lot about per diem, and then I guess last night I went out to dinner with my girlfriend, and the bill was $30 for dinner, and it suddenly made me think about that when you think about the per diem, $60 a day, in Minnesota, it's $60 a day if you have to eat out because you're here. That's what that money's for. And so maybe we've looked at it as if it's extra cash, and it's really cash reimbursing them for expenses that they might not have incurred. Now, granted, not everyone probably spends $60 a day, but let's think about it. If you go out to dinner, $30. If you go out to lunch, it's going to be $20. And so I think that we need to maybe put that a little bit more in perspective. And I also want to argue, I worked in low-income housing for 35 years, and we're asking legislators who are going to set the policy for our state to have incomes as the subsidized housing dwellers. So if you can put that in perspective, they'd all qualify for Section 8.
I'd like to build on Cherry's point. I think we heard through some of our reports is we're losing kind of the middle group. I'll say the group, don't hold me the exact number, it's like from 30 to 45 that they get in here and then they find out they can't afford it. And picking up on Cherry's point, trying to have a cross-section of really who's representing our state, if we're just going to have young and old, and how are we going to recruit and keep some really good people. And I think Margaret Keller said it right. This is getting more and more complicated every year. We need really smart, good people there. So my concern when I look at salary is how do we make sure that we're able to keep that middle group, and we've heard from some of them that had to leave for lots of reasons if you don't have the right job. So.
Go ahead.
I think we have to be careful about comparing it to low-income housing and things like that. Those who live 50 miles away get 12 months of rent paid through the state of Minnesota up to $1,800 actual expense. They also have the ability to ask reimbursement for meals. The state sets a limit. It's on the back of your blue sheet if you're interested in knowing what it is. So as we look at this, there's health care, there's retirement, there's living expenses, there's mileage, there's ability for meals. When I worked and I took my salary and I started subtracting all of my expenses, I could have taken a much less salary had they provided living, meals, mileage, etc. I mean, just kind of looking at it from a different perspective. I do agree that we have to be conscientious about who we want to represent us. And so I'm falling in the mid-range, about 45,000. And because of that, I think we will encourage a new group of people to come forward to serve and continue to serve. I think the 40 is too low, even with all the other things added to it. Their per diem is going to be a hot button. I think that's a conversation we need to have. So that's my rationale.
Marcia, we haven't been able to tell whether you have something to say or not. You don't have to say something, but let me give you the opportunity.
Well, no, that's fine. Thank you for that opportunity. And one of my concerns is also being able to retain those individuals who are leaving. And I think that we're running that risk when we go to a lower amount. Although I see the rationale in going lower, with the 40-ish, because then that might compel the legislature to look more at the per diem, but although that's not our charge, I understand that. So I fall in that middle range too, in that 45 to 47 range is what my preference would be, just based on all the evidence that we have from all the different sources.
Greg?
I'm persuaded by the discussion we've had that my number might be a little low, but I have a hard time going above 45. I don't think that cost of living is necessarily the right measure that we should have for determining compensation. I think a blending of the different things that we had, it looks like that would put us around 44 to 45. I guess I would be okay with that. I guess that's all I would say.
I really struggle with a higher number, so I would align more with Ken. A little persuaded by what you just said, too, Greg, that I could live with under 45. But I do think that it should have been addressed sooner. I think the legislature should have said, you know, let's do something about this, let's weigh in. But I also get that it's a political issue, that for them to suggest that they get paid more, you know, that I'm sure they chose to not do that because it's a hot button. But I just, going about 45, and I don't think we need to care about what the next council does, because for all we know, they could lower it. You know, that will be at their discretion. So I think we have to deal with today, what we need today. I could live with less than 45.
Well, one of the things that I'm conscious of is that if we're adjusting for inflation, we're, in Jim Lee's terms, always playing catch-up, that we're not out in front. And so the difference between 45 and 47 or 46 could be just one year of inflation. The inflation number on the handout, the most recent handout, goes through 2016. But this number will apply for 2017 and for fiscal 2017 and 2018. And so part of, you know, the difference between 44 and 45 or 45 and 46 is really pretty small, and you can think about it one way as to, are we going to be further out, going to be current, or are we going to be 1 year lagged on inflation? couple ways we could proceed. One way we could proceed is kind of winnowing down those choices, but it seems to me that we're already pretty winnowed down. It sounds to me like people are, in general, 44, 45, 46, 47, or something like that. Is there anybody that has any preference as to how we proceed at this point?
I'd like to have us do another straw vote. Now, put down what could we live with? I mean, I think Greg said it earlier. We're trying to find consensus here and something we could all live with. May not totally agree with it, but I would like to write down the number I could live with. And let's just see where we land again.
Close the gap.
And see if we can close the gap just a little bit more. And I thank Gloria for getting us so far last week, and I think we keep going and whittle this thing down and see where we're at without having to go around the table again and, you know, take a hard vote on a number for whatever reason. So that'd be my thought, Mr. Chair.
If we do that, I would say I would hope everyone would take into consideration this conversation, knowing that there are some real opinions on whether to go on the higher side or lower side. And like you said, the fact remains that we're kind of in the 44 to 45 range. If you take that into consideration, some people would really think it should be higher, but some people think it should be lower. And if we're trying to reach a consensus, I think we need to be hearing each other.
I'd rather do it verbally than do it in writing, because I'd rather, if I'm going to make a concession, I want to know what I'm making concession to. I just don't want to throw a number in. I agree with Shirley. She made a number of good points. Mr. Metzen did, Dr. Metzen. The fact is that we're supposed to be establishing the salary for future legislatures, and we have to hit the right figure. But I don't want to I want to try and negotiate this in public eye.
Joe, can I give my rationale for why I think the sheet? A lot depends on when your name is called alphabetically. I mean, you start hearing numbers and it may influence where you may fall. So my point is that I think I think it's a fairer process by not, I mean, I'm in the middle of the alphabet, I'll probably be all right, but if you're a B or something like that, you're up first. So my point is, that's why I think it's important to write it down first. Maybe, I think eventually, for lots of reasons, the open meeting law, we may have to take the vote on the number.
Well, we definitely have.
Yeah, I understand that. That's what I'm saying.
Well, here's the point. I know that I'm B, and I'm stuck with it. And I don't have any problem with it, but I want to state my position as, if I make a concession, I want to make it to the group. And not just on a piece of paper.
I just wanted to say, I feel that there's a tension about how we take per diem into consideration, and I know we need to have a larger discussion about that when we talk about the report. But I feel that if it's on the low side, we aren't able to make a statement that says we believe per diem should be eliminated because we've already taken it into consideration and setting it at, I'm at 45. I believe at 45 we can say we have taken per diem into consideration, we believe it should be eliminated because we've already folded it into the number that, you know, the $14,000 increase that we have given. And framing it up, I know that this is a hot button issue for a lot of people, but that we need to think about it in terms of, are we sending that message? Are we able to say, at 40, I think we'd be too low to say, we've incentivized you to get rid of it. I feel like at 45, we maybe have reached that point, and that's where I am, so I just wanted to toss that out as an added consideration before we take another vote.
Let me make sure that everybody has the same understanding. In the numbers that I presented last time, the adjust only for inflation number takes into account the fact that we have an average of $7,686 for per diem in there. So if we were to get rid of per diem in its entirety, the number would be $54,257, not $46,570. So the $46,000 assumes that per diem stays as it is.
Yeah, well, and that's the reason I wanted to like verbalize my reasons, because I think I understand it, but I can understand how everybody can get confused reading all this stuff. But my point is that I think, and the way the agenda is, we set the salary, we take into account the existing per diem, the rest of it is discussing the report, where I might respectfully disagree with a few folks on this. But that's a whole other issue. I'm glad I got the number right for my analysis. So, but anyway, if we could go, since I'm B, I don't mind, I think I'm the second person to vote, but let's just go in order if we could.
I get on the question. Over, you know, we're talking about writing it down and sending it in. Couldn't we write it down and send it in and then have our go through each name and talk about what we sent in? I mean, that way you're covering that the people aren't going to get influenced. You send it in, and once that's sent in, then we each start at our name and talk about why we sent this number in. Then it's open meeting law covers. I don't know, that's just what I'm getting. I'll go along
with that.
That covers both. We start from the
bottom. I'll go along with it.
Okay, so just to be for clarity here, this is not necessarily your preferred number. This is the number that you can live with.
Signing or not signing?
Signing.
Yeah.
I think we should sign. I'm going into Joe's position. It's starting to feel like a ballot to me.
I think we're clear that at the end of this discussion, there will be a roll call vote on a number. Oh, absolutely.
Piece of salary, and there's some people that don't take per diems, and there's some that do, you know, and it's, to me, it's,
we need to get rid of that.
Can you read those off again, Sally?
So number one is $44,000. Number two is $45,000. Three, $45,000. Four, $45,000. Five, $45,000. Number six, $45,000. Seven, $45,000. Eight, $45,000. Nine, $40,000. Ten, $46,000. 11, $46,000. 12, $45,000. 13, $45,000. And 14, $45,000.
Sally? Oh, so we got Marcia?
Yes.
So how many 45s are there?
10?
Yeah, 10. It's 10.
Well, I thought the idea was we were going to then go around the room and everybody was going to say what the number was and why they put it.
Well, I was a dissenter, so I'll say yesterday. Well, are you making a motion?
No.
Oh, okay. Last week I put 45 because I just picked a number to get there. I wasn't really set on it. And after the week, I realized that I felt that 47 was the better number, which is what I put the first time we voted this morning. I felt compromising coming down to 46, which fit that consumer price piece that my chair had identified was my compromise. I still think that it should be more, but I would go with the majority because I do believe in consensus, but I just want to say once again, we're setting a salary not for the people who are there who have been there. We're setting salaries for who we're trying to bring to the table. And for women and people of color, it makes a difference.
I 100% agree with Shirley.
Sherry, I'm Sherry.
Excuse me. Sherry. I 100% agree with Sherry, other than she should change her name. But the fact is that I put down 46,000. I would point out that for some reason we are now giving our legislators prescribing a salary less than the state of Washington. I have no basis to be doing that. It's less than the consumer price index adjusted for the average per diem, and I have no basis to do that. However, in the spirit of compromise, I put down 46, and if somebody makes a motion and a second for 45, I'll go along with 45, but in good conscience, I could not go less than 45. And as a matter of fact, I will go home unhappy with myself for getting 45, but I know from life that I don't always get what I want.
Bill, I think we just kind of go ahead. Why don't you go?
Well, I put down 45 one more time. That's the third time I've written it down. So I still believe that we need to mainly catch them up. And I think that using inflation as an approximation does that catch up. I don't think inflation is a great measure for measuring performance. But at this point, I think we need to bring the base up. And I think that's what happens here. I think we actually have to have a longer discussion about per diem, because I think per diem, I understand that this 45 is that 45 plus per diem. And, but per diems vary a lot, it seems to me. We need to talk about either changing that, making suggestions about that, or you know what we feel about that. I know Joe has strong feelings about leaving alone, but I actually think we need to suggest to the legislature that they re-look at per diem.
I would agree with that. I'm one that started out at the 40-41 level and will compromise to 45, but I don't want to see it go higher than that, and my biggest issue is that per diem and how much more money on top of that, which really has been considered salary by the legislature and how they've distributed that. So I was comfortable compromising at the 45, but that is my big issue, is that per diem.
45's been my number, and I actually said that I could live with 44. I'm the one who moved to that number after hearing Ken's comments and some other comments about the full-time health benefits and the other benefits that are received by the legislators. But 45 has been my number. I would feel comfortable with 45. I think we have to remember, I feel comfortable with 45 because it is linked to that inflation number. I think that the general public will understand that as a calculation, will be able to live with it, and that that is a number that people in general can say, okay, 18 years ago it was 31,140. Inflation, and there's a calculation, and you can look at it, and if we are able to say 45 is actually less than inflation, I think it makes it a more compelling number even to say, hey, this is something that the general public can live with and feel strongly about. Because these people do work, and they are doing the first people's work, but it is 100 days a year, it's 90 days a year, and for average Joe who's out there and isn't getting as big of an increase, they feel that. And so those are the reasons that I have felt comfortable with 45. And I do think that we can still, even with the 45, say, and I'm with Bill, that we say, you know, per diem has to be addressed. We have increased this. We can recommend that it go away and that that be factored in the considerations of the next council. But that a $14,000 salary increase should be able to help people pay for meals and the other things that they have. I mean, you're going to eat already, whether you're at the Capitol or your home, you're going to eat. Pack a lunch, or you choose to go out, you make a choice. And that this should be able to be sufficient to, you know, help bridge the gap there and allow them to make a choice to eliminate the per diem and have it be a more consistent form of compensation that all of the legislators are receiving, and not having to elect and have it be a variable between them.
I started out at 40 and I'm looking to compromise at 45. I do think the per diem is more than fair, and so I have an issue with it. You know, I think it may be a little high. So I struggle with it. I think the total package is excellent. I do think it would attract a lot more people even with the 45, but would like to see a per diem.
If the only discussion we were having in terms of salary for the legislature was what should their salary be, and there weren't other factors to take into consideration like per diem, I could be persuaded above a number of 45. But it's the only number that we control, and I think to go above that number without some control on other things that we have no control would be a mistake. And this is, and my number is going up from what I put the first two times that down.
My number also went up from the first time I was validated today. I think 45 is a reasonable number. I think given our current budget situation, this is the right time to make a significant increase because there is money available to do it. I also think that because it is a citizens' legislature, we have to be conscientious and not give them such a raise that the normal average citizen would say, wow, they got a bigger raise. They've gotten a better salary than I get, and I work every day. I think we have to be conscientious that it reflects our citizens in the state of Minnesota. I also think we have to be good stewards of our tax dollars, and so I'm really not willing to go much more than that, because I think then you do get into an arena where the legislators become gifted. So that's my justification.
I have gone up each time also, and feel 45 is a consensus that I can live with. Addressing the per diem issue is something that I think we have to send a strong message for, because one of the things we talked about at the last meeting was transparency, and I think that's the biggest issue. Echoing Gloria's comments, with all the research we have done, this is certainly a reasonable number and a very justifiable number when you look at different things. And I think it would be implicit in the information that we do in our report that we would look at this differently if per diem was different. In other words, kind of echoing what you said about that perhaps in 2 years the salary council will take that into consideration if they take something else into consideration as far as transparency goes.
I sound redundant, but I think it's important to know people's viewpoint. I moved up to, and I can live with 45. I do believe that Margaret Keller told us, Anderson said, we need a carrot and a stick. I could be a lot higher than 45 if we didn't have the per diem thing. And I think where we want to be heading here is total transparency, having a pool of candidates or people running or the citizens knowing exactly what legislators are getting paid. And the per diem is a back doorway, and I would probably, I'll bet 80% of the population in Minnesota thinks that the salary is $31,000. They don't factor in the per diem. So I think a strong language on the per diem covers us. Again, I moved up. I can live with 45, and then for the next council or the next big move will be by the legislature. Look at our recommendation and what we're saying, and telling them this per diem thing has to be addressed. And the next council, when that's addressed, the next council will really take look at the salary issue in a different light.
I agree with all. I've been 45 since we started doing this, and I just feel, the per diem definitely has to be, and transparency is a huge thing. And I think today, like you say, citizens think they make the 31, and they don't know any part. And when we come out with $14,000 increase, it's going to make headlines, and we're going to be not the popular group anymore. And I think that's our legislators that make that move, because they want to be the popular group. But I think we look at everything that's going on, and we can send a message to them that we want them to look at the per diems and get them more transparency. But if we were just talking straight salary, I agree. I would be more than 45 if we didn't have any per diems or anything in there. I'd be more, but I think 45 is better, in my opinion.
I was one of the 45,000 multiple times, and part of the reason why I was at 45,000 is that I'm conscious of the weakness of the numbers. The per diem number that's implicit in the 45,000 is a number that I created as an average of over a number of years and so on like that. And it doesn't assume any post-session or special session activity as well. And so all of this means that you have to take the numbers with a grain of salt, and that there's probably a confidence interval around them of more than $1,000 plus or minus in there. And so 45,000 just seemed to me to be a number that fit in with all the rest of the numbers that we had. Kim?
Yeah, well, I'm still kind of stuck on my 40,000, and I stuck with that because I'm I'm tying it to the medium household income and the 70% of a full-time job. And I would be happy to raise it too if the per diem thing was addressed, but I just think that it's too much, the 45 is too much, I guess.
Marcia? Marcia, are you still?
Sorry, I'm here now. I am also at 45,000. 45,000 for me was coming down just a tiny little bit, but that's where I've been today both times. And I believe just based on the information that we have, and I also agree with Joe that I would prefer state legislature to be getting that salary than the commissioners. And so I do have a problem with our commissioners, county commissioners, in some places being paid so much more. And I think that does draw from that pool of good people. But I am very comfortable with a $45,000 salary.
Do we have anything else to go over? Does anybody else have a statement that they want to expand on?
Well, I agree with a lot of the comments about the transparency piece. And so I think that that's something we've consistently said throughout the meetings. And we really do need to, I think that is an important part of our reporting out, because it was a discovery for us to understand all the levels, and that is important that people really understand the different components of the salary.
I'll entertain a motion for setting the salary if there's no further discussion that people want.
Do we want to do that, or do we want to wait till next week to vote on the salary so people can think about it, or we just want to get over with
it? I think we have a consensus. I don't see any reason why we wouldn't.
I'm good with that. I just liked last week David suggested we wait a week, and I thought that was really a smart thing to do, but I'm content to vote right now. So I move $45,000.
I second.
The prescribed salary.
It's been moved and seconded that $45,000 be the prescribed salary for state legislators for the 2-year period beginning July 1st, 2017.
Mr. Chair?
Yeah.
Just to point out, the salary once prescribed goes on infinitely until the next salary council amends it. So it's not technically for a next 2-year period.
Okay. So.
And so that is your motion, yep. As modified by Mr. Fletcher.
Yes.
That I second.
You still second, right.
Any further discussion? We have to have a roll call vote on this. Clerk can call the roll.
Chair Stinson?
Aye.
Boyle?
Yes.
Burleson?
Yes.
Donahue?
Yes.
Fox?
Yes.
Hannon?
Yes.
Joy?
Yes.
McElroy?
Are you last?
Benson?
Yes.
Myrie?
Okay. Yes.
Olson?
Yes.
Hugh?
Yes.
Crystal? Vandenberg?
Yes.
Wilmus?
No.
Whitty?
Yes.
So 13 yes, 1 no, 2 absent.
What do we do about the 2 people that are missing? Are they allowed to vote after the fact, or I don't know. That's
I don't think.
I
know
we need a majority of those here, and we have a quorum.
I mean, if they want to get involved, they can try and do that through Robert's Rules of Parliamentary Procedure. They probably won't, but if they do, there's a way to do it. But let's not do anything that's not the proper way of doing it. This is
at the next meeting, they can vote to reconsider. You have to see what they add their votes in.
Mr. Hubinger explained to me what they could do, so maybe you should explain to the council.
Mr. Chair and members, at the next meeting, there could be a motion to reconsider this vote and then allow everyone who is at that meeting to vote.
And that would have to be made by somebody who voted in favor of 45, and we'll see if that happens.
Okay, well, it looks to me like we've accomplished the first part of our agenda this morning. Probably the next thing we should do is have a break, and then we will discuss the transmittal letter, which will get into the per diem issue, I'm sure.
You stuck your neck out on that one.
Yeah, it was a tough call.
I'm an economist. It's pretty good for you.
What time should we be back?
Let's be back at 10:20.
Thank you.